Hey, welcome to Kristen and Chill. I'm your host, Sarah. Just kidding. That would be strange if I had a show named Kristen and Chill and my name was not Kristen. Unless, you know, I took the show over from someone named Kristen. You'd think still there'd be a name changeover, maybe. And I would never just name the show randomly Kristen. That would be a very random name to pick. If you're going to do, like, woman name and chill, you know, you'd pick, like, Jane and Chill. Or Jack and Chill, which it has to be a podcast now that I just said that. Jack and Chill. No one start that, please, because it'll be a bad podcast. Do you guys identify with your name? Because I don't even really feel like a Kristen. And, you know, I didn't pick the name, so of course there's a chance you're not going to feel like your name. But there are some people that match their name so perfectly. And it's like, did they morph into their name because that was their name their whole life and they took on that identity? Or were their parents just so spot on with the name? Like when he came rushing out of the womb, they were like, this is a Zach. We know this is a Zach. Like he's going to love skateboarding and the checkerboard pattern and ska. Like how did they know that? But also that's how I see a Zach. We all see names differently. So I may seem like a Kristen to you because you knew a girl in high school who was really cool and really funny. Her name was Kristen. And you're like, yes, you're a Kristen. You know, I'll accept. But I'm grateful to have the name that I do have because the two other options were not desirable for me necessarily. The first one was my mom's secret dream name. She wanted to name me Summer. And that's wrong on a billion different levels. Of course, one of them being that does not fit my personality at all. So I'm like a winter cynic by the name of Summer. I don't think so. But also, how terrible does it sound with my last name? Summer Carney. That's a really, really bad name. That's a shamefully bad name. And I'm very grateful that she was full of shame and didn't really tell anyone that that's what she wanted to name me. She wasn't like a hippie, you know? She was more of like the uptight, kind of straight-laced 1960s Catholic schoolgirl type. So Summer, for her, she wasn't going to Woodstock. So Summer, it was, you know, would have been way out there. She was too embarrassed to tell anyone, thank God. And then the other one was Diana, which is completely opposite of Summer. But I'm grateful I didn't get Diana because it sounds kind of snotty. And I'm already afraid that I'm not likable to begin with. So if I was Diana, I'd be like, oh, Diana's such a bitch. Ugh. You know, so I'd worry about that. But then also, honestly, wouldn't really want to be associated with the word die for my entire life. It just doesn't, in my mind, it's the same as being a Cancer for your astrological sign. Like, I just don't want to say Cancer over and over and over. I feel like I'm going to manifest it. That could be why Princess Diana's not with us anymore. Yeah? The name, maybe, she had a different name. If it was Princess Sarah, she might be here with us today. And that's it for my genius rant. I'm going to tell you about today's show. I have Ralph Sutton, who's the host of the SDR show on his network. Yes, I said his podcast network called Gas Digital. There's a bunch of funny shows on there that you guys should check out. And today we talk about everything from being a caretaker for your aging, not so gracefully family members and how that does a number to your emotional state, to my summer of forcing fun. Or forced fun so that I can try to stay above this depression. And I went to a water park on Friday, which I'll talk about. And I had to go in water to stay above water, if you know what I mean. It's a really bad line, but I wanted to say it. So Uncle Tony's out today, but I have a very, very, very special replacement. So instead of Tough Love with Uncle Tony, we've got Get a Job with Grandma Rita. She's going to dish it out. She's going to dish it out hard. She's going to show Tony what being tough is all about. So stick around for Grandma Rita and the rest of the show. If you guys want to rate the show 5 stars, that would make not just my day, not just my month, not just my year. It would make my life. That's how low my standards are. So please meet those low standards. 5 stars on iTunes, 5 stars only. I deeply appreciate it and be very, very, very grateful. Also, if you want to share the show with a friend, that's almost more important. We got to grow the show. Why do a show if there is no growth? I don't know, just to kill time. But don't listen to what I just said. We still have to grow the show. We're not just killing time. Please share the show with a friend. And because we taped at Gas Digital, Ralph's podcast network, there's video from this podcast, which I will be posting short clips of on my Instagram, which is at Chris Karn. So if you want to check out what we look like as we talk, I know it's very, very interesting. You can find that on Chris Karn. And also I'll be posting longer versions of it on my Patreon page, which is patreon.com/KristenandChill. All it takes is $1 or $2 a month to support the show that you love and that helps you and keeps you going. Because this show is definitely that. All right. Well, long enough here at the beginning of the show. I hope you guys enjoy the show. And I will see ya on Instagram or something. At Chris Karn. Okay, bye.
Yeah, and then what's the name of the show, by the way?
So,
yeah, we both hear you.
Okay, yep. Great.
So the name of the show is Kristen and Chill, and it's got a backstory, and I'm just going to give you a rundown of it real quick so it doesn't come out of left field, and I don't want to retell it for people who listen to the show. So,
can I interrupt in my opinion? You should recap it a little bit. Why?
That's actually a good point.
You're always getting new listeners.
That's a good point.
So tell me on the air.
That's a really good point. The reason I don't usually recap it is because it's not like recapping my trip to the shopping mall.
Right, but it
mall.
Could be. I'm sure there's a way to express it within a minute.
Well, my co-host committed suicide.
Yikes.
Yeah. So it's not one of those I'm like, it's hey, let's start the show on this note.
So what color do we use for that?
Black?
Honestly, just go rainbow at this point. I need some happiness in my life.
It's called Kristen and Chill?
Yeah. So it originally was called Mentally Chill.
Mm-hmm.
And the ILL, still in parentheses, so mentally ill, yeah. Chill. And so it was with my friend Stevie Ryan, who I'm not sure if you've heard of. She had a show on Comedy Central or VH1. It was a sketch show. She had a really big following. She started out on YouTube and kind of became one of the first mm-hmm. YouTube stars. So anyway, we got together because we both struggled with depression.
Mm-hmm.
Ironic that you get together at all when you have depression, but we forced ourselves.
Misery loves company.
Yeah,
for a reason.
Yeah. It actually doesn't though. Like I like to know people are sad. I just don't want them around me.
Even when you're sad.
Yeah, because I get isolated. I don't want to talk to anybody. So it was weird that I ended up reaching out to her because she would post a lot about having depression. And I've had depression since I was like 18, 19.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can believe it, I'm 36 now. So
I know.
I like to throw that out there for some reason. I never threw out I'm 25 when I was 25, but now that I'm 36, I'm like, I'm 36.
I'm going to be 50 in a few months. I don't hide that from
you
anybody.
You are. Well, that's surprising.
Oh, well.
I responded to you the way you should have responded.
Well,
to me.
Heard it outside. I did it outside. I did a double take.
Okay, good. All right. So we did the podcast for about 4 months. She took her own life. Then I kept it going as Mentally Chill until January of this year. And I changed it because I wanted to get off of the heavy depression, heavy duty stuff and just be funny. I'm a comic and I just like to be funny and an asshole. And I felt like with Mentally Chill, I had to walk a line a little bit because there were people who were actually suicidal listening to the show and I didn't want to like trigger them or, you know, so I just basically was like.
You know, there's a guy that you should talk to when you're here. And then we should get started.
Is it?
No. He has a show called The Dopey Podcast. And his show was about recovering addicts, him and his friend, right? Him, the two recovering addicts that I don't think they're comics, but they try to make it funny. And then
that was me and Stevie. Like, we don't think they're comics, but they're trying.
is the AC's on here? Is it leaking again? Yeah, it is. Great. Awesome. And then his co-host relapsed unbeknownst to him and killed himself. And then he kept the show going. But what he did was he was a brilliant promoter. This American Life podcast did a segment on him. He got written up in Page Six, and then he started getting. He got Mark Maron on. He got Artie Lang on.
All right, here's the thing. I was shying away from it because I didn't want to look like I was benefiting from her death.
That's a comedy problem in that all comics don't like to do the promotional thing for some reason. Every comic here, they don't like to ask for things. They don't, and that's just that's part of being a comedian, I think. But I have no shame, so I ask everybody. I don't give a shit. And
that's why you own a business and are successful.
Exactly. Because I ask for favors all the time. I was hounding Michael Che after we booked him to help me book other SNL guests. You know, I don't care.
That's what you need to do. You're a hustler. Yeah. And I lack the hustle gene. And I try so hard to get it.
Yeah, but then you get a partner that's good at that. You know what I mean? You get a co-host that is that for you. You know, if you don't have it in you, get someone that is in that.
You know what, though? I think I'm attracted to people who don't like to do things, so I don't think I come across a hard
worker. Get her
Harrington's
phone number.
Is that from the Dope podcast?
No, no, it's this guy that we just were firing this week that's just fucking such a lazy piece of shit.
Perfect match. Yeah. He's my dream guy. So with you today, I want to touch a little bit on what your history with mental health is, but I changed the show over to mostly minutia and neuroses.
Okay.
Almost like a Woody Allen, but not as funny and not as like sexual.
Fair. My mental health issues are minimal in terms of seeing people in my life, you know, going, but I have some stories about that. And I have a lot of weird idiosyncrasies. I think we all have. I read your little, you know, you sent me in a little update. We all have weird tics, I guess I'd call them. Who the fuck is normal? So we all have problems. If you're really normal, I probably would be really worried about you.
Right. Yeah. And so I like to kind of exploit the weirdness of all of us in this because it makes me feel less alone.
Right.
But Oddly enough, I like to be alone.
Yeah, but, that's funny. I don't know. But I have a friend, by the way. I will say it on the air about mental illness. I'll tell you a story on the air.
Oh, we're not recording right now?
Oh, I've gotten all of
this. Okay, great. Okay, good.
I just didn't know if you wanted to have like an official start or this.
No, well, I do the intro alone at home because I get weird.
Okay, fine.
Because if I fuck up your name and then I try to describe you and I fuck up.
How do you say God again? I don't know how you spell that. No, sorry. Anyway, so he had.
S-A-T-A-N.
Close enough. He had mental illness his whole life. And here's this guy. He was super successful. He was running. He was VP at Viacom, run College Humor, like super, super successful, smart motherfucker. And had an interesting like thing with his wife where they met, they broke up, and then they got back together. And then they've been super happy ever since. Two gorgeous kids.
I hate him.
Everything's great, except he was constantly miserable.
Good. You know? He should be.
Yeah. And he tried every single fucking combination of pills and medication and never really worked. And he wrote an article that got everywhere last year about what did work for him. And it was interesting to me because I took him to this because he needed someone to bring him home and his wife wasn't there, was electric shock therapy. It was interesting to me because I've known him since I'm 20, you know, so we've been friends forever. And he's always been not a super, he's like would put on a happy face and be happy and joke around with me, but would complain a lot. And then all of a sudden, like a switch went off and he's not that guy anymore.
How long ago was that treatment?
5 years. And they say like every 5 to 10 years, you need to go back.
Is he still happy?
He's still good now, but he's saying that he's starting to realize that he probably needs to go back again.
Wow.
Soon. Yeah. So that's pretty wild.
Yeah.
And I'll find the article and send it to you because it was fascinating. Even I think that I hate to say relatively even keeled person. You know, I don't get too angry or too crazy.
Well, you can't because of your size.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing.
Thank God for us.
Exactly.
And your employees.
I'm hyper aware of that, too. Like, most of my dating, I don't meet women in a public forum because I'm 6'6 and 270. I look like a monster. So I'm aware that I scare people very often. So I don't hit on people in public. I do much better on Instagram or Tinder or whatever the fuck, and then explain to them, by the way, I'm enormous before we meet each other. Just don't pee your pants when you see a monster walking down the street.
It's funny how quickly women will change because all they want is height, but then all of a sudden you surpass a certain height and they're like, ah!
On dating apps, I lie and say that I'm 6'4 because nobody looks at 6'5 and over.
No.
Nobody wants that.
It was 6'6 and over.
Is it just depends on the app?
I would say, in my taste.
But it depends on the, like a lot of the apps, the it goes like 5'10 to 6'4, and then you have to choose also 6'4 and over.
They group together
that? Some of them do that. Yeah, some of them when you can search by height, and they group in categories.
I don't like that. You're not the same as, so wait, it groups together six?
Like from, let's say 5'11, usually the cutoff is 6'4, like up to 6'4.
5'11 and 6'4, that's a whole different world.
And then also, which is crazy, I have a twin brother who's 5'7. Which we look nothing. We're fraternal, obviously.
Oh, I feel so bad for him.
Yeah, well, he's better looking, so he's got that. And he's more more charming. Like, he's a very likable guy. I don't know how likable I am at first meeting. And he and I, which is crazy, we were born 4 minutes apart. But that cusp was New Year's Eve to New Year's Day, 69 to 70. So we're twins born in different decades.
Wow.
By 4 minutes.
You know what's great about that? You always have an icebreaker.
That's true. It's a great story.
Yeah, you know, I'm a twin. I would do, you know, two different years.
It's a good story. I've probably told that story 1,000 times. Yeah. Because I have my 7 or 8 dating stories that I tell that are always like interesting enough that will spark a conversation. And I literally just had this conversation with one of my good friends. He's somewhat good looking guy, but he's also a federal agent. So that just airs.
Oh, so he's sexy. Yeah.
Girls like that, you know? So that's his opening line, not, hi, I'm a federal agent, but he works
that
it in.
That should be.
Yeah, or just has his badge hanging out. He figures out a way to get that relatively quickly, And he's gotten about, told me this 2 days ago. He goes, in the last month, I've gotten about 25 different girls' phone numbers. We start texting, but I've never gone on a first date. I'm like, dude, you're obviously the problem.
Yeah.
So let me look at what you're saying.
You have to be his FBI agent.
Yeah, and try to figure out what the fuck he's doing. Yeah. He's the same guy, which I've told on my show. I talked him out of it. It took me like a month to talk him out of stop fucking sending dick pics. No girl.
He's sending dick pics?
No girl wants to see a dick pic. No girl. Even what? A girl you're dating, I still don't believe really wants to
see
a dick pic.
No, because it's not like they look like Giselle. They're gross. Yeah, yeah. They're gross. Unless you're so turned on, a penis is not attractive.
Yeah, I don't think it's ever attractive. I really don't.
No.
Don't
if you're see. If you're going to send a dick pic, like do it in a funny way. Draw a smiley face on it or a sad face or something.
We did a contest on the SDR show, my podcast, because our producer, pretty girl, hasn't had sex in like 16 months. So we did a dick, what do we call it? Fuck, it was a dick dating game. It was, she was on a show, she was on a dating show years ago called Elimidate. So we called it Elimidick.
Oh, good. That's amazing. I love that. So what are you, so you don't see a therapist or anything like
that? No. So I'll tell you, my history is very interesting, is minimal, which is I've done it maybe twice in my life, but it started.
You're talking about sex.
Yes, that, not even twice. when I was 5, my parents got divorced. And they assumed that we were having problems with adjusting to it. I really believe it was them that were having the problems. And they just projected that onto us. And at 5 years old, we were going, 5 or 6, we were going to see therapists, which is weird. And then that really didn't do anything. It was like maybe 6. But a crazy coincidence is the therapist that they took us to, my parents got divorced at 5. My father remarried it when I was 13. So like almost 10 years later, or 9 years later. And it was her sister's husband was the therapist that we saw when we were kids.
Oh, weird.
Very weird small
Ooh,
world thing.
Yeah.
Very weird.
That
right?
can F you up.
Yeah. And then in my late 20s, early 30s, like 27, 28, I started to see a therapist regularly. But what I really realized is that I just was unhappy in my situation. And I just decided, I'm complaining about my girlfriend. I'm complaining about my job. That seems to be what's making me so depressed. And I just changed. I got rid of my girlfriend, changed my job, and I think I've been happier. I do think, and I know this is going to piss off a lot of your listeners, but I think there's a percentage of people that are clinically depressed and have a problem, no doubt, brain imbalance, whatever it is, something they need medication, and it will help them. Most people are just using it as an excuse to say that I'm this and I'm that and that's why I'm where I am, as opposed to just fixing what's wrong with you. Just like my brother, he for years was traveling. He moved all the time. He moved to Miami. He was going to go to California. And the problem was that everywhere he went, he was still there. And all of his problems eventually, once the newness of look where I am now, this is exciting, wears off, he was miserable again. And then only years later, like now I think he's in a better place, but not still not great. But a lot of people's problems, and I look forward to the hate mail that's going to come in for this, is that they don't want to take it on themselves. It's very easy in our country, more than anywhere else, to blame, you know, OCD or PCHRK, whatever the fuck they want to say it is. But you don't hear about those kids in people having that in struggling countries. It's when we're content with our surroundings that we create these new problems.
Yeah, we don't have enough to occupy our minds. If I wasn't in the position that I had no choice but to work XYZ job or whatever, I probably would be less depressed. But because I have so many options and so many choices, I'm overwhelmed and I'm like, well, I'm just going to lay down in a ball because it's too much for me.
Right.
I think for me, it's a combination. But I do notice that I can get into a situation that is cool that I've always dreamed of and I still feel severely depressed. But I always have said the phrase, wherever you go, there you are. And that's why tropical islands suck.
That's funny.
Because
you don't.
I imagine, like, I look at pictures of, you know, these beautiful vacations, and I picture myself there, and I'm like, well, that would suck.
So you feel that you're always struggling with
always, people. Always, that's, yeah.
But you could be one of the small percent that really does need the help.
I do, know? Because I notice with certain medications.
You feel better.
Yeah, like, for example, yesterday, I didn't take Vyvanse, and I was not taking it often before, but I'm starting to become a little bit more dependent on it, but I didn't take it, and my brain felt like the off switch was just turned, like it was just down. And then this morning I took the Vyvanse and it felt like my brain turned back on.
I'm going to play devil's advocate and just say that I'm sure anybody taking that medication would probably feel better.
Oh, yeah, they would.
So then you go off of it and you're going to feel worse. But that doesn't necessarily mean you need that medication. I don't know. I'm not saying I met you we did one podcast together a year ago. That's my knowledge of you. So I can't speak for you. But I could say that I'm sure if I took Adderall or any one of those things, I would feel great.
Yeah. Well,
that's
of course.
Why people take them.
Yes. But I'm basically the person who's not functional without it.
Mm-hmm. But also, how long have you been taking the medication in your life?
Not that long, actually.
Oh, okay.
And it's been kind of a savior for me because basically my routine is when I wake up, my brain feels off. I like off as in not like, you know, off of center, but actually like turned off.
Right.
Like
I
there's
understand.
A switch on, a switch off. It feels like it doesn't even exist. Like I feel like a dead corpse.
Mm-hmm. That's and I like actually, women I have sex with, by the way.
Well, then we, you know, it'd be a great match. But then if I take the Vyvanse, what it does in my mind is I picture it almost like I'm a marionette doll,
mm-hmm.
and I'm dead. I'm like a dead corpse. But all of a sudden, the Vyvanse like pulls my arm up, and then pulls my other arm up, and then my leg, and then all of a sudden I'm dancing like a wacko.
But does that mean that you don't feel better, but your body's functioning more?
My mind feels on. Like it feels. What's the word? It's hard to describe. Like if your penis gets hard, like blood
like right
rushes.
Now?
Yes.
Okay.
So it feels like now my head feels like your penis does. Like mm-hmm. it feels on.
Cool.
Like there's shit going on in it.
Well, I envy your head.
Yes. And it's huge. So.
It's funny is that, I mean, I am, I think, as I said earlier, extremely even keeled. I don't get angry a lot. I handle things. I look at people that get super angry and super aggressive as it's just like, especially like people that fight. They
look like idiots.
They look like idiots, and they don't know how to handle the problems that they're having with their words. So their answer is, oh, I'm going to punch something, you know? And it all comes from just being a better communicator, just figuring out a way. Ooh, I'm sorry.
Figuring, hey, baby.
Look, I like Brian with his hair down. It looks so sexy.
Yeah, very Fabio.
Yeah.
You're Irish Fabio. Redhead.
Is that red? Is that reddish?
It's got a red tone.
Red?
Yeah. It's a brownish red.
Yeah. And he is Irish, I think.
These are his pubes we're talking about.
That, exactly.
Yeah. Scottish, actually.
Scottish? Ooh. Oh, excuse me.
You guys are close to the Irish. Yeah.
What is your nationality?
Keep it American. I'm Italian, Irish, German, and English.
Is any one of those four that you identify with, or that's just your heritage?
Whoever I'm around.
Okay,
if I'm around an Italian, I'm like, oh, I'm Italian.
Yeah.
If I'm by an Irish guy, I'm like, oh, yes, potatoes.
That's all they know is potatoes.
Yeah.
Have you been to those four countries or no?
No.
Oh, I've done. I also think I'm a huge advocate of traveling. I think traveling does help your mind. Not necessarily going to tropical islands, but experiencing other cultures and other people.
I agree. And I would travel more if I had the money.
There's easy ways to do it for cheap. I'm telling you. Like, I did it for
years.
Well,
I've already slept with enough dudes.
I'm
out of options.
I've for years did this thing. It's called the Student Travel Association, where they have these deals for like 30, 40, sometimes even 50% off. And they never ask you if you're a student. And I've, for years, when I didn't have a lot of money.
Cane, gray hair.
They don't care. Yeah. They're not. You're not meeting them. You're doing it over the phone. And I would get these crazy deals that there was even, I had it, there's Expedia's at the time and everything, and they would always beat it all. So that's one way to do it. Then hostels and shit like that is another way, but that's not fun because as we get older, nobody wants that. But there's ways to do it and see other places. And I think that it's hard to be a racist asshole, and it's hard to, once you start experiencing other cultures, it really helps gain perspective.
Yeah.
I think I've been to almost 60 countries now.
Damn.
And I just think it's important for people to do that.
Damn.
Figure out a way.
Yeah.
Figure out a fucking way
wow.
to go.
You're not lazy.
No, I'm not.
That takes a lot of energy to figure out how to travel without money.
I never did the hostel thing. I was 35. I read an article that
they wouldn't let you in hostels.
No, I'd be too bad. At the time, I was at one point, when I entered high school, I was 5'7". I graduated 6'5". But
I'd imagine like a woman walking in and like you're her hostel mate.
That'd be fun.
That would put the like hostel in the word hostel.
Yeah, it would be too, because I get very angry if they take over my bed. When I was 35, I read an article that said that 75% of Americans don't own a passport, and half of the ones that do never use it. And at the time I was 35, I never left the country. I was like, well, this changes today. And since that day, I made a deal with myself to leave the continent at least once a year. And I've done it every year since.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. That's very inspiring.
Yeah, I like to do shit like
that.
Yeah,
wow.
I'm a person that makes things
happen.
I don't
know how to respond to people who make things happen. It throws me off. I'm like, you're not lazy?
Yeah, What do we talk about now? I try to really, not only I put myself in situations that make me uncomfortable often because I like new experiences. So I try to go, you know, whatever it is. I went jet skiing in the Hudson River just because I didn't want to do it. You know, I just came back from Whistler in Canada, which I've never been. I hate hiking. But I said, fuck it, fine, we're going to go hiking. And I ended up loving it, you know. And I think that even if you're faking it in the beginning, and just forcing yourself to go through it, eventually you get the experience.
Well, I'm glad you bring that up, because currently I'm reenacting the movie Yes Man, but like Yes Woman, because I usually am like, nah, I'm good. I don't want to hike. I don't want to go golfing. I don't want to do whatever. This summer, to help my depression and just help my life in general, because I look back on all my memories so far and I'm like, ugh, kind of a lump on a log. Yeah, geez. I'm not going to have anything to tell anyone about. Not
other
that
than
I'll have
seeing
any in my
every
life.
Series on Netflix, I haven't done
right.
Much.
It's really pathetic. So this summer I've been saying yes to pretty much everything, literally.
Slept with a lot of dudes.
Tons of sex, tons of drugs. No one's offered anything like educational, like to go to a museum. Otherwise, I would totally have said yes.
That's funny.
But yesterday I actually went to a water park because I didn't want to go, but I'm saying yes to everything. And my sister was going with her daughter in the afternoon. And I was like, I got to say yes. This is my thing. And so I was at a water park, which, you know, I didn't want to go to with the parking and the people
and the lines
and like, you know, the general public, like in bathing suits. No, thank you. Right. You know, but I did it. And so that's been my thing this
summer.
Did
you enjoy it?
I ended up enjoying it. Yeah. So that's how I've justified doing this, is because in the beginning, in the morning, every time for every single thing that I've done, I've been like, I don't want to fucking
do this. I think that's a lot of things. Just put yourself in a situation you don't want to be in, and you'll be surprised how at the end of it, very often you're happy. I used to be a strip club DJ, okay, when I was a kid. And when I went to a new club, it was the same thing every time. Every girl was going to fucking hate me. They just, because they're a new guy, you don't know their music, you don't know their names, and they all think you're a piece of shit because you don't know 80 new girls' names and the songs that they like. But my attitude always was, I know I'm pretty good at this, and eventually they're going to fucking hate me the first week, but the next week or two they're going to like me, and eventually everyone liked you. So it's just a matter of just go through the motions, and eventually it'll work itself out one way or another.
Yeah, I'm a fan, not that this is necessarily the exact same thing, but I am a fan of fake it till you make it.
Yeah, I think
I really
true.
Am. Yeah.
I think it's a big thing.
Unless you're like a surgeon or a pilot.
No, even if you're a surgeon, especially if you're a surgeon.
Yes, especially if you're working on my face, which I will start working on soon, I'm sure.
Really? You're planning plastic surgery?
I know. I can see me in the future. I'm not going to be able to age. Mentally, I'm already in the dumps. If I start seeing my face going south.
But I don't think it's there yet. Like,
that's my whole motivation to earn money right now.
To do plastic surgery?
Just to be able to control my face when I get older. That's all I care about. I'm not saving for retirement. I'm saving for plastic surgery.
It's funny because that face app that was so popular last month or so, not one girl did it. Every guy I know did it. Not a single girl put up those pictures.
I posted, but only on stories because I knew it would disappear. It was horrific and also realistic. So if you were, I'm going to get onto our, like my little rundown. So if you were to tell your therapist something today, what would it be?
Like what, like a problem?
Something you tell your therapist.
I mean, the thing I would say is there's obviously some part of my brain that's wrong, that I'm 50, will be 50 in a few months, still single, never married, no kids. You know?
Yeah, you're a loser.
Yeah, it's weird.
You're fucked up and no one wants you.
Exactly. I think that's true. That's going to be on my tombstone. I don't know. I think that it came from both my parents were dating a lot when I was a kid at 5 or 6 when you're the most impressionable. So that's what imprinted on me, I think, you know, but I don't know what it is at this point it is weird. I do think I want a kid one day, but at this one day is going to be better be pretty soon or the kid's never going to really know me.
Well, do you start to feel anxiety? Because I feel like the one day thing works for so long, and I'm hitting the point. I'm 36, but like I'm hitting the point where I'm like, I can't say one day anymore.
Right. It's now.
It's now.
It's now. Yeah. I also think it's weird that a big part of it is I know how happy it would make my mother for me to have a kid, right? Yeah. And so I don't want to make a decision. The two reasons why I want to have a kid and be married is super selfish, which is I'm taking care. An uncle of mine right now has dementia. My father passed away a couple of years ago. And both of them I took care of, so I'm still the uncle right now.
Caretaker.
I'm the caretaker. And then there's nobody to do that for me. So it becomes, that's the anxiety.
So your brother doesn't have any kids?
He doesn't have kids, not married, no kids either.
And same no other siblings? Thing.
No other siblings.
Oh, your poor parents.
Yeah. Well, my father is not here to be, but yeah,
oh,
my
I'm
mother.
No, well, then I feel even worse for him.
Yeah.
Poor
yeah,
dad.
He died without knowing it. But I had the only thing I have is my cousin, who I look at like a brother, has two kids. And I've told them a few times, hey, you know, a couple of years, you may be taking care of me.
Cause
I'm taking care of my uncle because he had nobody.
Yeah.
You know, and I hope that they.
I love that you said a couple of years.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know.
Yeah, it could be.
Who knows?
I mean, you're an old man.
Yeah, there's no guarantees. A friend of mine, I was in Whistler this weekend, and the reason why we went is one of my friends had the worst year of his life. His 17-year-old son was killed in a car accident.
Horrific.
His wife's mother died, but while that doesn't sound so bad, has died because there was a flood in Austin and they didn't get to her in time. That's bad.
Yeah.
Then his brother had a brain aneurysm and died in a gym. Oh, within about a year and a half. Okay. And he just said, I got to go away.
That's street cred right
there.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Feeling sad.
Yeah, he's allowed.
Yeah.
So we did a boys' weekend in Whistler. Like six of us all went away, did the hiking and all that shit. And he's the one that just over and over again is pushing in everyone's head, you may not fucking be here tomorrow. So you really need to just understand and appreciate what's going on today. But then at the end of the vacation, he started talking about how...
buzzkill, buddy.
Yeah, he wants to kill himself, he said. He doesn't want to live past 60. And that freaked me the fuck out.
How old is he?
He's 50.
Jeez.
We all turned 50.
Well, when I was probably like 10 years old, my cousin, who was 17 or 18 at the time, said, oh my God, I'm going to kill myself after 50 because I don't want to live past 50. So he was 17, 18. Now he's 42 or 43. He just had a kid and his life is almost like just beginning.
And he told you, we're still doing it. No,
but, and he's, yeah, so he's off now. Like he's like changed his tune. Yeah. But I'm surprised that your friend is keeping the tune up because he's 50. That's not far. That's
his reason
about the same
is
as
he
60.
Misses his child so much he doesn't know how to function.
Oh.
You know, and he doesn't realize, he doesn't also. His life is centered around, you know, being, he's fucking great looking in phenomenal shape, and he knows that it's not going to last forever, and that's his identity. So he's struggling with not being the guy that whenever he walks into a place, everyone's like, holy shit, look at that dude. And he's not going to be that dude anymore. And
he will be past 60. You know, the whole sun thing's still going to be.
Yeah, it's going to be hard.
A little.
Yeah, it's weird what I'm saying. But so for me, again, to go back to it, it is a little weird that I'm thinking, wow, if I don't marry, I'm not dating anyone. So the chance of me getting married and have a kid within the next year is probably pretty light, you know? So it's just becoming now, well, maybe that's just not going to happen. And that's been a hard struggle for me. That's been the thing the most. And it's weird. It's both my brother and I. So something happened to the fuck is both up because we're both that way.
Are you 69 or is he 69?
I'm 69.
So you got to use that to your advantage. You should be all sexual.
Yeah.
You're 69. Oh,
hey,
right.
Baby?
Yeah,
hey.
You should have like 10 kids.
Yeah. It's weird. Also, like, it's been a running joke on my show. I haven't had sex without a condom in 20 years. And I just did one time recently for the first time in 20, and I was like, oh my God, no wonder everyone loves this.
Wow.
I forgot what that felt like, you know? And so I'm super hyper aware of like diseases and never, I got one girl pregnant when I was like 20 and then we had an abortion, you know?
Well, that's but, too bad. You could,
I just don't,
you
haven't
could have your
seen
caretaker.
I haven't seen that 30 year old kid and, you know, but no, I just, that's the one that freaks me out the most, I would say right
so
now.
So why do you think that is?
I think if I had a guess, I'm a crazy perfectionist, OCD perfectionist, where I know that, I get red flags right away on dates. I'm like, yeah, that's going to not work out for me. I know that. They think that the longer you live on this planet, the more specific you get of what you like and don't like. And the shitty example I give you is like when I was 17, I'd walk into a deli and say, give me a turkey sandwich. And whatever came, I was fine. It's a fucking turkey sandwich. But now I'm 50. I'm like, I'll take the low sodium turkey. I'll take the Dijon mustard, toasted bread, but not too much. Use the multigrain bread.
Yeah, so you basically get more obnoxious.
Yeah, you get more annoying. Yeah, because
you
just know what you like and don't like.
Right.
You know. And then when I was a kid, I'd sleep on a floor. I didn't fucking care. And now if it's not super comfortable with the right man, and some relationships end because I like it cold and you like it hot, and it's never going to work.
You know what? That is actually a big thing.
It's true.
It 100%. Is. And I've thought, well, I'm glad I'm single lately just because I don't have to worry about fighting about the heat or
it's
the
a
temperature.
Constant thing.
Yeah, and with my antidepressant, so I'm on Prozac. I used to be on Effexor. They both did the same thing to me, which was give me these crazy night sweats. But it's usually really anti of what you would think it would be. When I'm under covers and I'm like warm under the covers or nice and cozy under the covers, if the air is cold outside of the covers, I break out into a hot sweat. If the room is cold and I'm under blankets, I will break out into a hot sweat.
That's weird.
If the room is cold and I'm not really under blankets, I won't break out into a sweat.
Okay.
But
if you're under blankets and it's hot out, you're fine?
But if I'm under blankets and it's warm in the room or not like a crispness, no sweat.
And that's how you like it?
I like it like that, but also it's because I don't wake up drenched in stinky, gross, disgusting sweat.
Me, it's usually
sweat.
I wake up in urine because I pee myself.
Well, I do that, of course. Oh, okay. And I think that actually... makes me a little bit too warm too. I think that
for a little while
because it's warm pee.
For a little while.
Yeah. But it's really uncomfortable. So with a dude, it's good that I'm not dating, but I've thought, well, if I did start dating someone or got into a living situation with the male, which would obviously be someone I'm dating, I would have to be constantly just either, I'm sorry, can you keep it warm? I'm going to wake up pure sweat, or I need to go off my antidepressant.
Or you sleep in separate bedrooms. It's not unheard of.
I'm into that.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
That's
but
fine.
But I'm like you, so I'm kind of getting to the point where I'm starting to feel weird about the whole like not being married and and things like that.
But I also sometimes feel that it's just a societal thing, you know, like there it's been proven that there is no animal other than humans that try to be monogamous.
Well, I never cared about it until recently. Yeah. It's weird. I feel like I don't know if society got to me or if an actual biological clock got to me. I really don't know what's causing me to feel this pressure, but I could have cared less about marriage until last year.
If I knew for sure that someone was going to take care of me when I got old, I would never have a problem with that. And it was just my mom being disappointed. I'd rent her a grandkid and say, there you go. There's your fucking kid. You
know, there should be rentable grandkids.
I'm sure there are, but it's not legal. But
it should be. Yeah. Let's fight for that.
Yeah. And that I would say is my, it is a weird fear. It is weird. It's definitely something, especially now that we're 4 or 5 months away from me being 50. That whenever that first digit changes, other than 10, I think that you have real self-awareness of like a passage of time.
Yeah. I mean, you're lucky you're a dude. If you're 50 as a woman,
ugh.
I mean, it's
the
over.
Do women get 50? I didn't know that happened.
You can't see them. They turn invisible in the street. Like they actually
That's
disappear.
That's why I don't see them.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. If you feel like you bump into something, it clears it up.
Clears it up a lot.
Just keep going. Yeah. Well, so let's talk about your social skills and social habits. And the reason I do this is because I've never been good at making friends and being social. And so I'm deeply curious about other people and how they make friends and why and what your motives are to have friends. So tell me about
Well, first of all, I think that, again, not to sound like an old curmudgeon, but the older you get, the harder it is to fucking make new friends. When you're a kid, you're up at the playground, you're like, you're my friend now, and that's it. And the bulk of my friends I've known for 30, 40 years, you know, and that's number one. But then when Gas Digital started and my podcast started, I became immersed in a new culture of tons of comics and singers. And I've become friends with people that I have a whole new world of contacts and friends that I never, 5 years ago, I didn't know any of these people.
But are they contacts or are they friends?
People that if I have an event, I would invite them over. People that like Jay, my co-host on my show, I would generally consider him a good friend. You know, he's like one of the best people I know.
What's the point in which you cross over from a guy I know and we work together to now we're friends? Doesn't it feel a little bit weird? Don't you feel like I'm hitting on them?
I don't know if I make that distinction. I'm trying to think about that. This weekend we went to this thing and it was, as I keep bringing it up, I just got back from it, but it was seven of us. Three of them I did not know at all. But one of the guys was his other friends from Canada. And I immediately now would consider them, all three of them, great friends of mine.
Wow.
Yeah, we all just clicked and we were making each other laugh the whole weekend.
Going on a trip with six other people sounds like hell.
Well, here's the funny thing. So they wanted a bungalow for everybody. It was a 5-bedroom, 4-bathroom bungalow for 7 people. And when I looked it up online, one room was twin beds, one room was bunk beds.
Oh, God.
I'm like, this is not happening for me. So I said, you guys take your fucking bungalow. I'm going to rent a hotel room next door. And they said, well, and also,
that's what I would do.
Yeah, half these guys don't know me. Like, dude, it's about the bonding and this. I said, I'll bond with you for 16 hours. I'm going to sleep over there.
But then you become the enemy. Once you turn against the group like 100%. That, you're out.
100% was the enemy. But then when my brother read that email, he's like, you know what? I don't really want to fucking be there either. And so then he took a room. And now they all were really pissed because they couldn't afford the place anymore.
Right.
Two of them pulled out. So they had to take a smaller place and they fucking hated me. But we all got along great.
Okay, so you didn't end up staying in the bungalow.
No.
I am proud of you.
Definitely not.
You stood your ground.
I will not. Yeah. I will do only, I try. Well, I don't mind being in uncomfortable situations. I know me enough to know 4 nights in a fucking bunk bed? Are you kidding me? First of all, I'm not going to fit. And knowing my luck, I'll end up in the bunk bed because my brother and I are twins. Like, they'll be fine together. I would have lost my mind. But I think that's also why we got so well because we didn't have to spend every moment with each other. I could go home, you know, back to my room where nobody was there, just me. So that made it easier for us to get along. But these three guys, like, we're now all in a it's super faggoty that I'm saying this. I know I'm supposed not to say that word, but we're all in a group chat on WhatsApp, and we've all been like texting since that we're all going to try and plan another trip again, which is nice. And it's
like the real
housewives of Whistler.
Husbands of Whistler.
Yeah, 100%. And they're all about my age, 47, like 51, everyone there. And we're all friends now.
Okay, so tell me how it actually works. So how did the WhatsApp group start? Who started it? And what has the conversation been to actually continue on? Because I see all these people in group chats and group messages. I'm like, how did this even start?
First time ever.
Is there always a leader? Was there a leader of this group?
I'll tell you exactly how. The funny thing is that like the only group chats I ever am on is for work. I've never had a friend. It seems like a very chick thing to do. But what happened was...
it's not, because I've been like none.
Because we were all there and staying in separate places now, trying to coordinate what time we were going somewhere and what time we were going to be meeting. And we're in Canada, where a few of them didn't have international cell plans, where the texts were costing more. We said, oh, let's go again on a WhatsApp chat. One of the guys never heard of WhatsApp, which freaked me out. Like, how do you not know what that is? We had a downloader for him to put him on his phone.
I like him the best. Yeah, he's my favorite.
He's the good-looking doctor dude.
Oh, ooh.
Yeah. Okay. I'll show you pictures of him later.
The one who's going to die before he's 60?
Yeah, yeah. So you get a good 10 years with him.
I'm fine. All I need him for.
Yeah, but he lives in Texas, so you'd have to move. Yeah. And also, he's an OBGYN.
So well, I could use a cooch. Few free appointments. Yeah. It's like productive and also sexual at the same time.
You got a lot of things.
Killing two birds with one stone.
We set them up, and then it was all about, in the beginning, while we were there, we're meeting here, we're going here, blah, 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 so we get all, because we weren't like holding hands for
so
the whole.
So information exchanges are important in starting off a group thing.
That's what this was
people.
For sure, okay. Yeah. And then when we got home, then we figured that out when we were sitting at a restaurant together and trying to coordinate. We're like, let's just start a WhatsApp chat so we don't have to keep spending money on text. And then that's how that started. So it was, I don't remember which person actually came up with that idea, but it was it was more logical than, hey, schnookums, let's all, you know, do this in kumbaya. Then we got back. My brother lives in Miami. Two of us live in New York. One lives in Texas. The rest lived out in one California, two in Canada. And my brother got home first and texted a picture of himself, of his feet on the beach in Miami. Just saying, you know,
his tiny 5 foot.
His
seven
tiny
feet.
5 foot. He has a. Poor I think thing. He has an 8 or 9. I have a 15.
That's
but
amazing.
He sent the pictures like, you know, this is my view now, because most of our pictures online were grandiose mountains and waterfalls and shit like that. So this is a very 180 difference. And then everyone started sending pictures of their feet from wherever the fuck they were, and then now that kept the chat going. And then today someone bought some piece of technology that we were talking about. Look what just came today. So it just kind of kept going, not like every day, but every couple of days. And then there was a band that I love that I got on my show last week called Dirty Honey, and I sent a clip of the live performance to them when they were performing live in the show. So it's all just kind of kept going every couple of days. And it's at this point, I'd say, I don't remember the last time I made truly new friends, just friends outside of work, and these three guys would be those guys.
Would you be uncomfortable if they heard you say that you consider them friends?
Absolutely not. We all talked about how we're all going to be friends for life.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Well, my friend Jen, who I referred to on the show as a resident consultant, Jen, she's probably like my best friend. Mm-hmm. And I have to say like in front of it, like my best friend, because I'm so uncomfortable with that idea. Mm-hmm. And I said it on one of the last episodes. I said, well, I think Jen's probably my best friend.
And she called you up and said, I'm definitely not.
Right. I was so afraid because I knew she was going to listen. And I was like, I wanted to just give her heads up beforehand. Like, you know, it's almost like I feel like I'm proposing to a dude, and I don't know if he's going to say yes or not.
That's really funny.
Because
that was a Seinfeld episode. Wasn't it a Seinfeld episode?
I should know.
You're too young, but I'm...
No, I'm obsessed with Seinfeld. Wait, can I show you something?
Yeah.
I'm actually wearing a necklace that says Costanza.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I am really a massive Seinfeld fan, so I should know this.
Yeah, so there is an episode where he says that he breaks up with a friend. That was a whole episode on
that.
No,
that's breaking up with the hair guy, No.
I will willing to bet money that there is an episode about breaking up with a friend.
Okay.
I guarantee it.
If it is, it's probably in season 8 or 9, because I refuse to watch season 8 or 9.
Why?
Because Larry David didn't work.
So Larry then started off his own Curb Your Enthusiasm, and then a very good friend of mine who's done my show, I've known her since I'm 10, is the Susie Green on the show, Susie Essman.
Oh my God.
Yeah, done my show. I've known her since 10 years old.
Oh,
and so
I wish I was her.
She's so cool.
God.
Yeah, she
God,
gives me insights sometimes. Like, they just wrapped the season 10, you know, and then she'll give me a little,
yeah.
You know, she can't say much, but she'll let me know, like, what's happening when out there.
Yeah.
So it's great. He's really genius.
Well, Larry didn't write or produce on season 8 or 9, and it's got a completely different vibe.
It definitely does.
It loses its grounding. It doesn't feel as realistic. There's something sillier or more, like, cartoony about it that just bothers me.
Yeah, the last season was 9, right? Season 9 was the last season.
Yeah, so season 8, 9. But Larry, I think, came back and wrote for 9.
Yeah, at the end.
For the finale.
Was not a great finale.
No, and I think they all admit that. Yeah, actually, I think Jason Alexander got in trouble recently because Game of Thrones, you know, got thrown under the bus really for having a shitty finale. And so Jason Alexander tweeted something like, I know about bad finales, and then everyone got mad at him. And
oh,
he had
really?
To, it's like, okay, if he's, you know, maybe raped somebody, apologize for that, but don't apologize for just making a comment.
I'd say don't
he had to apologize to everybody.
Don't necessarily apologize for rape, you know?
No, well, no, I mean, no, you should say thank you for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, by the way, I have a theory.
On rape?
On rape.
Okay.
And how to stop it all. Okay. How to stop all rape.
Go ahead.
Act like you're into it.
I bet you that would work.
No longer rape.
Right.
Now you're having consensual sex. And that dude probably isn't getting off on it because he likes
the
control.
Whole thing, so they say that sex is not, that rape is not about
it's
the sex,
the control.
It's about the control.
Yeah, so just be like, ooh, yeah, yeah ooh, yeah. And all of a sudden he's like, loses his boner.
That's a good idea.
Done with the rape.
Yeah, I'm going to start trying to get that into practice for my own use. Also, in your summer of fun, about 5 years ago, I did Ralph's Summer of Do. And it was, I'm going to do something I've never done before every weekend.
I was hoping it was a do-do.
Take a big Slats dump every
poop.
Weekend. So it was like gun shooting and whitewater rafting and all these every weekend. So every Monday I would say, this is what I'm doing on Saturday. And I tagged all my New York friends. Whoever wants to come, come. And it was either sometimes two or three people, sometimes 11 or 12 people. But the entire summer I did, I think it was 12 different things.
Did anyone give you shit for it? I got
no,
shit
everyone
for
loved it.
It.
Everyone loved it. They were so happy. People were asking me the next year to do it again. I was like, you know how much work was put into doing that? People canceling last minute. And
oh my God, that's the thing. So much work.
Yeah, it was too much
Not
work.
Not my thing.
Yeah, I said, it was fun for one summer. I wouldn't do that again.
Yeah, I wonder if next summer I'll be willing to, because this ends up being a lot of work, a lot of driving, a lot of coordinating, a lot of money, a lot of blah, blah, blah.
I think there's a way to do it. Well, you're just saying yes to everything, but there's a way to just say, look, I'm going to do five things this summer that I'm not comfortable with. Instead of everything seems like a lot.
Yeah, but then I got to think.
Oh, I guess that's
I could think, plan, know in advance, and I'll be like, oh my God, I'm only on thing two and it's August 20th.
All right, so say July. You know, that way it limits how much time you're going to put. That seems like a lot.
Well, I think I'm doing it because I do think it helps.
Yeah, I do think it helps. You know, I think it's great. I think that your brain, if you're doing the same thing every day or staying in the same mode and routine, your brain atrophies. My father, when he passed, he had a little very OCD, and he would eat the same thing every day at the same time. And he would if he had to turn a light on, he'd turn it on, off, on. He had to, right? We bought my brother and I once for his birthday. We bought him an iPad 2, and then the iPad 3 came out. He never used the 2 because doesn't like technology. But he bought a 3 because 3 is a better number, was his answer.
Wow.
Okay, it's like severe OCD, right? And he would do the same exact thing every day, same time. And he started to lose his brain. His mind wasn't working so well towards the last 10 years of his life. And I truly believe it's because he wasn't forcing his brain to experience new things.
I agree.
And you just have to. You have to.
I absolutely agree. My dad, I think, might go down a similar path because he's exactly the same way. But I don't think he's ever going to change, but he does the exact same bike ride route. So he's not a bike rider. He's not a cyclist.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a guy who rides his bike who looks like he's only riding it because he looks like he got a DUI. He doesn't look like an athlete on a bike.
That's funny.
But he's been riding the exact same route throughout our town and area for, I think, 40 years.
Once a day?
Once a day. But it went up to once a day from when he retired, when he was working and teaching, and he had a business. He was doing it twice a week, but since he's retired, it's literally every single day, rain,
the exact
snow,
same
sleet,
route. Oh, that's
the
exact that's mental illness
same,
as well, obviously. Yeah.
You know, wakes up same time, does this exact same routine, but that bike ride has not changed one inch
that's
in 40 something years.
Yeah, that's crazy. What happens if they close a road or they move something?
He will go around. Like, okay. He will change, but if he
force
does
change, has to be forced.
Yeah, he would never choose it.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah, I mean, that's why also I think that I am so it's deeply concerned for me to force myself to do different things. I see what happened. Like, even now I'm taking care of my uncle, and my uncle, my grandfather, my father, as they get older, men especially, I think, they stop taking care of themselves. They wear dirty shirts. They start to smell. I just think men lose the, I guess because, if I'm thinking about it in a bigger picture, most men are doing these things to attract women. And then as that becomes less and less important, they take less and less care of themselves.
Yeah.
But it's so unappealing. Like my uncle only goes to the same, again, another routine thing, goes to the same pizza place every day to have lunch at the same time.
Yeah.
He does eat something different every day. But when I went there to go see him the other day, his 80-year-old friend, who's pretty with it, came out to meet me and said, we have to do something about Stevie because He's not showering. He's smelling. They say they can't keep him here. He can't stay here if he's going to stink up the place. That he's frightening other customers.
Oh, my God. He's that bad?
He's bad. So now, and he had shit all over his
shirt. You're not doing a good job.
Yeah, I know. I only see him once a week. There's only so much I can do. But thank God we got him on Medicaid this week, which took a long time. And so now he's going to have a caretaker. Because he's ambulatory and with it enough to know that he doesn't want to be in a home. But he's definitely not with it enough that he needs somebody. And I can only go one day, maybe two a week. That's always he's an hour and a half away in Brooklyn.
Oh,
it's
geez.
Not an easy thing to do. So thank God that happened. I just see, but again, the thing to bring it back is that I'm trying to imprint that on my brain that when I'm 70, 80, or if I make it to that much, but not to be that guy. Always take a shower, always make sure your shirt's clean. And just try and be at least a human, a part of society.
Yeah, I'm going to go the complete opposite of you. I'm just fucking.
You're already planning it?
Yes, yes. This is just because I have hope right now. There's still hope for my future. But once, and this is actually from Seinfeld, when Jerry, Elaine, and George all decide to volunteer for old people.
Mm-hmm.
And George is talking to the guy that he's working with at the coffee shop. And he's like, why do you even wake up in the morning? You don't have anything to look forward to. And I feel that exact same way. And like my grandma is 90 years old. She went to the water park with us yesterday. I was pushing
That's
her around
awesome.
In a wheelchair. She's awesome. She's super with it. And she can actually walk, but I think it's just too far.
Did you just throw her down a water slide and say good luck?
In the wheelchair down the water slide. We had to be safe. But I was pushing her around in this wheelchair and she was such a good sport. And she was happy and cheery and go lucky. But it's like, but your life's over.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, why? Why are you smiling? I mean, and obviously she would say because I'm enjoying this day and this moment with my grandchild, my grandchildren, my daughter, my son-in-law, and my great-grandchild, you know. But I look at it and I'm just like, but it's over everything.
A doctor friend of mine said to me once, you don't realize the strength of how strong the will to live becomes as you get older.
Like, is it will to live or is it will to ignore reality and that? Life is weird and fucked up.
Yeah,
you're going to be dead soon.
Yeah, I don't know. I start thinking about death, too, because now that I'm 50 and because I'm 6'5", right? You don't see a lot of 80-year-old 6'5 people.
No.
You see none.
No. And not just because they've shrank.
No, you just don't see tall people.
Right.
I look at it like dogs. Little dogs live 20 years. Great Danes live 9.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to not live as long. If I make it past 70.
Quality versus quantity.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be in the bonus rounds if I get past 70. And I don't think that's 20
crazy.
Years.
Yeah.
It's 20 years when I think about that. Because I can vividly remember things from 30 years ago that seemed not that long ago. So 20 years ahead of me, it's not that much time.
How do we deal with that on a daily basis?
Yeah,
and wake up and get out of bed every morning.
I don't think about it. I just try not to think about it.
And that's the key. I think I think too much about it.
Yeah, I try not. If anything that, like right now, if I told you all the shit that's going on in my life, that is, if I thought about all of them, I would not get out of bed. Because there's crazy.
And I think that's what my problem is. Because I think about everything that I shouldn't think about almost in an OCD way. I don't think I have OCD necessarily, but I think of the same negative thoughts on repeat over and over and over. It's not like I have to turn the light on 3 times. It's that I have to remind myself that, that one time that I was an idiot, you know, and I looked like this and I acted like that. And not that that's the worst stuff, but I just replay why I'm the worst over and over and over. And then it's hard to get out of bed after you do that.
That's how
I go to sleep. That's how I wake up.
I get to sometimes when certain things are happening. Like I'm dealing with a couple of major things in my life right now. And like even we use my uncle. Like if I have a really bad day with him, it's hard to come home and feel good. You know, like a couple of weeks ago, I hope he doesn't. He doesn't listen to. He doesn't know what a podcast is, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, he's not showering.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to
delve
into podcasts.
On a side note, like a friend of mine got a big write up in his podcast in a newspaper. It was in the Daily News on page 6. I'm like, dude, how did that do? Because it made no difference. I'm like, oh yeah, anyone that's still reading newspapers doesn't
right.
listen to a fucking podcast.
No.
And so he, I'm sorry, I just lost my train of thought. What the fuck was I just saying?
Having a good day after you get.
Oh,
home
yeah.
From...
So I come home and one day I went there and. His shoes were covered in feces, like shit, like literally looked like he was stomping around in dog shit.
Like literally,
I hope it was dog shit.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was, you know, and he had stuff all over his shirt and he just was like, he forgot his wallet. He forgot his keys.
Jeez.
And he was just sitting there. So I had to take him home. I made him take a shower and threw out his sneakers and stuff like that. And you can't come home from that in a good mood. You're just not, you know.
It would be weird if you did.
Yeah, dancing in the streets, you know.
With the same shoes.
So I, with his shit shoes just twirling him over my head. So I came home and I just like, I attach food and mental, bad news equals me eating garbage. That's just how I've always been. I think especially the Jewish faith, we very much, not that I'm very religious at all, but I grew up in that way. And I just make that association. So I eat like shit when I'm in a bad mood. And that's what I came home and I just fucking did it. And even like when.
That's a little pun intended. I don't think you wanted to use shit there with that story.
Exactly. But even like when my father died, I gained, like, I'm now not as bad, but I was like 250 weight when he got sick. And I was 300 after he died. And that was like a year of taking care of him. And in hospice, they give you ice cream and cookies and shit.
Yeah.
So you just eat garbage every day. And I got up to 296. So now I'm back down to 270, trying to get back to. Where 250, I felt
that seems reasonable, though, with your height.
I should be about 235, 240.
Really? But, my dad weighs like 220, and he's only 6 foot.
Well, also for me, which is weird, is that my penis weighs 11 pounds.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a problem. Well, I think his is 14. Oh. Last time we did it, it was 14 pounds. But
you brought out the scale?
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. So I sometimes will say to myself, okay, I'm going to be fucking miserable for a while. Even if you break up with someone or something bad happens. And I just allow myself to be miserable until I feel like I'm not going to be miserable anymore. And I think that certain people, they get mad at themselves for feeling miserable, and then that feeds the misery, and it lasts longer than it should. So you just allow yourself to be like, all right, well, fuck it. I'm going to be in a shitty place for a while. And that's what happens. And then I try to sometimes look at it with like, well, I did have good years with my father or had a good time with this girl, so that the only reason why I'm feeling shitty is because I had those good moments. If I didn't have those good moments, I probably wouldn't feel shitty. So I try to look at that part of it.
Yeah, but that I would look at that in a negative way. Like,
because you're not going to have any more good moments anymore.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess we're also, I say, like, we're all going to die. We're not going
to
live forever.
I'm so programmed to just go negative.
Right.
People are like glass half empty or half full. I'm only thinking it's half full if it's full of shit. Like, right. If there was something good in there, it would be half empty.
Right.
But if it was, like, half full and there was actual shit in there, I'd be like, oh, it's half full. Like, so I almost like pull out the worst.
Right, the worst. There's that famous story about the king with "This too shall pass." Do you know that? That was the he was a king that wanted to always stay grounded, and he needed something to help him keep grounded. And they made a ring that says "This too shall pass," meaning good stuff or bad stuff, you're gonna get through it. It's gonna change, and to help him kind of keep grounded in the moment.
Yeah. Well, my favorite quote, I think Winston Churchill, and I. Have the only reason I know is because my mom bought it as a magnet, and it says, "If you're going through hell, keep going,"
right.
Because the only way out is through.
Right,
basically.
Makes sense. And I think it was Socrates that said, "Nice tits."
That was Socrates in his like prime.
Yeah, it was really some of his best work.
Yeah, that's what made me a big fan. So the last part of the show, I call sweat the small stuff, which is really cheesy, but it's stuff that annoys you or social etiquette that people do or don't do.
I'll tell you a great thing that just happened. This was really bizarre. So a lot of birthdays and shit from my friends.
Birthday etiquette. We could get in a whole thing in birthday etiquette.
This one is more meal etiquette.
Okay.
So all of us that went to high school or college together, we're all basically turning 50 this year. So we're all doing special events. One of my friends turned 50. And the check coming, what you do with a check is a bizarre thing to me. And it's so stupid. In a lot of countries, they automatically split the check to each person gets their own shit. But New York, for whatever reason, we do not do that. And one of my friends, if he knows he ordered more than everyone else, he'll say, let's split the bill.
Of course.
And if he knows he ordered less, he itemizes what he owes.
Of course.
Right? So we were out.
See, why are you friends with this guy?
Yeah, it's
he
shitty.
Should be gone.
I call him out on it.
Okay,
but also, here's what I'll say on that. You have to realize, there's people in your life, and there's people that shouldn't be in your life, right? But then, and everybody has their idiosyncrasies that make them good or bad. And you just have to decide, does the good outweigh the bad?
Yeah.
And then I have some friends in my life
that have a lot of good to weigh out.
Yeah,
that
he has a lot of good. He's one of my, he's a very good guy. Okay. You know, like I would try the old, you know, kill a body, he'll hide a body with you kind of guy.
Oh,
you know?
All right.
But he does have a lot of double standard idiosyncrasies that drive me crazy, but you know, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
So we were out to dinner a while ago, and this came up. So he's said, hey, he had a appetizer, entree, dessert, three drinks.
Oh, and the whole shebang.
The whole fucking shebang. I split an entree with one other person, and then I didn't drink, right? And he said he's going to have a... I thought we'll just split the check. And the other person that was there, I didn't know that well. I didn't want to get into a big debate. I said, yeah, it's fine. Hold on a second. I called the waiter over. I said, can I get a filet mignon to go, please? And he did. I said, okay, now we can split the check.
Oh, my God. Best move ever.
Yeah.
Really good move.
Yeah, it was really great.
Really good move.
Really made me happy.
So how did he respond to
that? He was not happy. But I said, all right, no, what do you mean? I thought we all just, you know, what are we going to do here? Right?
Oh, my God. I love that. You called him on his shit
in
the smoothest way.
Yeah, it was really
That's
funny.
What I lack is the smoothness.
Yeah. And then, and other than the birthday one, that was we were finishing up, A guy came an hour and a half late to the dinner, which is like, go fuck yourself at that point. And there's a different dinner now. This is 2 days ago. And one of my friends was finishing his had lobster risotto. And I said, oh, it looked pretty good. I was like, that's good. You want to try it? I don't really want to try it. The guy that just sat down said, I'll try it. He had one lobster claw left and some risotto. The guy takes his hand across the table, picks up the only lobster left, scoops it through the risotto, and puts it in his mouth, right? And then the guy goes, my friend says, well, I guess I'm done with that. You know, like, you just took the only, what am I going to do here, right? And that was weird number one. Then weird number two, I don't know this guy at all. We go to split the check. It was pretty even. We're all going to split the check. And this guy goes, you know what? It's Al's birthday. I got Al's share. Well, that's nice. Okay, it's $80 a piece. And I take out my card. Everyone takes a credit card. And he goes, I'm going to pay him later. Pay him later? What do you have?
So he has to pay now and then?
Yeah, I said, what are you doing? He says, then Alan had to pay for his own. It was the fucking weirdest thing.
How do these people go out in public? I'd be humiliated to
it's
do
so
that.
It's so weird. And I'd never met the guy before. And I was like, Alan, that guy is the biggest. First of all, he shows up an hour and a half late, scoops his hands through your fucking meal, then just for the accolade says, I got Alan.
And you know what? This guy is probably happier than anyone else at the
dinner.
He
was a very happy-go-lucky dude.
Yeah.
Didn't care.
That's the key, is to be unaware.
Yeah, he was super unaware.
Don't be self-aware. Don't be world-aware. Just live in a weird bubble. Be an asshole and you will be
Yeah, if you don't care about others, you're always going to be happy.
Yeah.
I care too much about others.
I should be happier then, because I really don't care about that.
You really don't care about anybody
else? No, I care about people, yeah. No. Okay. I'm obsessed with my family. Like, I don't know what would happen if anything happened to them.
Do you have any brothers or sisters?
One brother, one sister.
Are you in the middle?
I'm the youngest.
The youngest, okay. Mm-hmm. That usually means that you are used to being taken care of, because
yes,
everybody loves the baby. And
yes.
Blah, blah, blah.
That's been very detrimental to my life.
Yeah.
Because I always felt like I could never take it.
The middle one, no one cares.
That's, yeah, and my it's my sister, and she's the strongest.
Yeah, that's what happens. Yeah. I think that with me and my brother, so he was very cool and good-looking from when we were kids, you know? And it was literally Joey's house. Like, we'd be sitting sometimes at the table, and my friend, his name is Maurice, we were 13, he gets a call from his mom, where are you? I'm at Joey's house. And I'm standing there,
your house.
And Joey wasn't even in the room. I'm like, could you at least say Joey and Ralph? I remember this so well at 13. And having that shadowy thing at an early age and not really being the other one, I think made me a stronger person and made it so that I had really bad acne, where I remember one girl thought, she said, oh my God, when did you get chicken pox? And she was being serious. She wasn't being mean.
I'm going to use that as a joke.
It's really crazy. And all of that, I think, helped make me a stronger person, so that as we got older, I could take failure more. I could push forward more, where my brother cannot. Like, if he hits one barrier, he doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing. And I tell people always, embrace the shit, because you're going to be happy you went through that earlier, because as you get older, you'll know how to deal with things.
Yeah, you took it the way I wish I did, because I think I had, you know, the third wheel syndrome and stuff like that, mm-hmm. I used it more to define myself rather than to get stronger, which sucks.
Yeah, but I mean, you could still, I guess, I don't know if you could change. I don't know if people change. I really
don't
know.
I don't think it's fine.
I don't think it's really that possible.
No,
Yeah. You have to really want it and make it an everyday mantra if you really want to change.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think people want to do that much.
Yeah, I want to put on TV, scroll through my phone. It sucks. That's what, you know. I'm paying the price, but at least I admit it.
Yeah.
So, well, thank you for doing this.
Thank you.
You've been very open and very honest.
I'm a very open and honest person.
I love the open and honesty. I've always been, like, open and honest, and it's weird when people aren't.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you hiding? Why? Yeah.
Especially in this format.
What am I going to do with this information? I'm not going to, like, use it against you to create a bomb to blow up your house. Like,
the reason why I feel people have gravitated to podcasting is for the openness.
It's real.
And it's real. And I think that people that put on an act for their, like, I was at radio for 20 years, and radio, it was you had 1 minute or 2 minute breaks. Yeah, and you got to get in, get out. And at one break, one thought, that was the whole thing. It took me a while to transition to podcasting and understand, oh, we have an hour. We can, you know, I don't have to figure out how to make this fit in a 1 minute thing. And when I used to do a couple of those, like VH1 best of countdowns of music, and I worked in rock radio, and I would speak in these 1 minute clips when they said, well, what about this song? I'd be like, blah, 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 blah. And they were like, we don't fucking have to edit you. How come you're doing this? Well, it's 20 years of doing radio. I don't have to cut. I know how to speak in a fucking 50 second clip.
Yeah, but then you got someone like me. I've only been podcasting, and I couldn't describe what I want for dinner in less than 30 minutes. Like, that's how it's go on and on and on. It's
I
like
still
enough.
Could turn off, like, if I'm somewhere, I did a TV show 2 days ago, and I could easily flip off not cursing. because you can't curse on live radio. So that I can do very well and then go back to being my normal potty mouth self.
I can turn it off because I got the mom who you couldn't swear in front of.
Oh, that's funny. My mom didn't care. My mom worked in comedy when I was a kid.
So
she ran a comedy club in New York. She's one of the first people.
Oh, my God.
She put Chris Rock on stage first, like one of the first Susie Essman, Joy Behar, Mario Cantone, all these people. That's why I know them.
Wow.
From when I was a kid.
Damn.
Yeah, and it's funny. I'll tell you this one last story that I think was amusing. Happened to, like 5 years ago. I was on a date at the Comedy Cellar, and Chris Rock went up on stage, and the girls were like, holy shit, it's fucking Chris Rock. I was like, great. Okay, after the set, I said, we should go upstairs. There's a restaurant upstairs, and very often the comics are hanging out there. Maybe we get to meet Chris Rock. And I mean, I hadn't seen him in 30 years, 25 years at the time. And I went up to him, there's a bunch of people. I said, hey, Chris, my mother's name is Leah Sutton. And before I even finished, he's, oh my God, one of the first, sit down, let's hang out. And we talked for like 5 minutes. And I know I'm a big fan of not overstaying your welcome, always punch out early, let them be like, all right, instead of saying, all right, we got to go. So we did like 2 minutes and left. And as I'm walking in, I thought to myself, I bet you this girl thinks I'm fucking super cool. And I'm like, well, actually, in my head.
But she still made you wear a condom.
Yeah. No, I basically just said to her, hey, Chris, my mommy knows you. There's nothing cool about that. You
know, right.
It wasn't like
that's
anything
hilarious.
Else. Yeah, so, but anyway, that's.
But that's what fame does. You can make the uncoolest stuff cool.
Yeah, you try.
Yeah. But that is cool. I mean, my mom. Super cool. She baked cookies a lot. You know,
well, that's
cookies.
Good. My mom couldn't bake for shit.
Yeah. Well, see, I win. No, I don't. I really wish my mom worked at a comedy club. I would be much better off right now.
Probably. I don't know.
Anyway. All right. Well, thank you for doing
this. Thank you. Follow me everywhere for those listening. I am Ralph Sutton. My podcast, The SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. And then I have a network called Gas Digital Network. We're recording in this studio right now.
It's such an awesome studio. And it feels so refreshing because I actually, my backpack is out there with my mics just because I didn't want to leave it in my car. But I just have been like chugging around, going to people's apartments, setting up my.
Is that what you've been doing this whole week? Is like doing, trying to get, or is that in general you're just.
In general. No, that's what I, yeah.
What do you use, Zoom?
Zoom. Oh, yeah.
That's cool. I've become a podcast like guru, so to speak.
Well, yeah.
I knew nothing about it when I started 5 years ago. Then I was hired by CBS Radio to help consult, and I work with a bunch of people, and I didn't know anything 5 years ago. And
it's so weird that the word podcast and guru can go together.
Yeah, I used to, the reason why it's called, I know we keep rambling, I'm sorry, but the reason why it's called the SDR show and not podcast is 5 years ago, I was embarrassed to use the word podcast.
Yeah, I get it.
And now I think it's not a dirty word anymore at all.
No, it's not.
Because even on TV news shows, at the end, they're like, hey, if you want to keep listening, check out our podcast.
I'll keep shame attached to everything.
That's good for
you. No matter how long I do it,
I only do that with masturbation.
Yeah, you should keep the shame.
Thank God.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. Remember to support the show by rating 5 stars and 5 stars only on iTunes. Follow Ralph at I Am Ralph Sutton, both on Twitter and Instagram. And remember, stay bored enough to listen, but not too bored. Bye, guys.
You want me to do what?
You know, just like give my listeners advice, you know.
You have advice?
Yeah, for my podcast.
A podcast? I don't know what that is. But I'll give you advice. Get a job.